Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Whether it's a pandemic or a wildfire, like there is in Alberta, and the wildfires out in BC, or it is Hurricane Fiona that hit the Atlantic provinces, or in the United States of America, Hurricane Ian, all of these things, we need to communicate. And sometimes that blessed internet service goes down. Joining me is Glenn Morrison, who is president of the Desert Radio Amateur Transmitting Society. It's in Palm Springs, and it's a club dedicated to everything ham radio. Glenn Morrison, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, Arlene. Nice to be able to talk to you.
Great to have you, and perfect guest for this Sunday. And also feeding in, as I, you know, in that intro, kind of setting it up, one of the things that intrigues me about what you're doing and the ham radio people is we've been taught a few lessons, haven't we, Glenn? I know that people have always believed in these kind of things, and certainly ham radio in an emergency. We've had a couple. Glenn, is ham radio having a moment?
Oh, yes. Out here in California, there's always the threat of earthquakes. I live about 7 miles from the San Andreas Fault. So that's something that's always on our mind. And, you know, people think, oh, well, it won't happen in my lifetime. And it may not, but you should just be prepared for it anyway. And during the hurricanes that hit Tahiti several years ago, and then just more recent ones through the Caribbean, like Puerto Rico and stuff, for the first few weeks, the only communications out of those islands was ham radio.
A lot of lessons learned these days. Glenn, maybe we should explain what they are and how they work. I mean, some people are so far removed from this, clicking on Facebook and Twitter and the internet and all that magic. But before that, Glenn, there were ham radios. What do they look like? Do they still look the same?
Well, that's hard to say because I collect vintage radios that have got vacuum tubes in them. And now they're all, with an analog dial and everything. And now they've got everything's all digitized. In fact, some of the radios, some of the modes of getting the information out are digital. And so it's gone that direction. But it has changed in the last, particularly about the last 10 years or so. It's because you can't expect the your cell phone to be there. They'll be jammed. Yeah. From wildfires and things recently, everybody gets on their cell phone and the cell phones go down. They get overloaded. So ham radio is one of the ways to work around that and get out messages, to work with police and fire, to get message to your Aunt Sadie in Manitoba that you're okay, things like that. It's going to be about the only way to get things out.
All right. So maybe tell us who you're communicating with. Is it one-on-one or and you're using good old fashioned radio frequencies there? How do they work?
Actually kind of all of the above. We have groups that do nothing but handle traffic, which is a term for message handling. And if I wanted to get to a message to my Aunt Sadie in Manitoba, I could generate a message and using the radio, send that message. And there's ways to do it that will actually maintain the integrity of a form, a radiogram, just like a telegram. Mm-hmm. And it can get passed on from person to person, kind of a link. And a relay, And it'll eventually, somebody will call Aunt Sadie and say, hey, I got a message for you from Glenn in California, and he's okay. On the other hand, there are groups of us that get together. There's a group called ARES, Amateur Radio Emergency Services. And I tell people we're kind of like yeast. We're self-rising. We're self-activating. And so when an emergency happens, when something happens, we can just deploy ourselves or wait for somebody from the city or, you know, some kind of government entity to say, we need some help. We need some eyes and boots on the ground, and we need to deploy some people to find out what's going on. And then a little bit later is a group called RACES, but they're they're tied into FEMA, and they have to wait to be activated. And then we all tie into, like, city and county emergency operations centers that, with all the televisions and all the stuff that keep track of all the police and fire and all that kind of stuff.
How does it feel when a disaster is happening and this all springs into action? It must be electric, Glenn.
Oh, it is. You know, and it's interesting to do. And we drill for these our local ARES groups. We drill with local hospitals in case of for like mass shootings or pandemics or. Things like that, and we actually participate with the local hospitals that for handling messages, and maybe their phone system goes down. Somebody runs through the fiber optics with a backhoe, and they need to be able to talk between emergency and ER and where the nurse pool is, and things like that. And we can do that within the hospitals too. So. Yes, we planned and usually have a little supply of food and water with us because you might not know how long you might be out there.
Wow. So you just spring into action. I had no idea this was so well organized. So after, as we say, we've received a few lessons here. Glenn, are the amount of people using these, is it growing?
It's about staying the same. The people in the hobby are growing, but also some of us are kind of aging out. We've had several friends pass in the last month or so. But yes, we try to encourage people, and in our particular club, the Desert Rats, are always trying to bring people together and practice this. We have a out here, we get together every other Monday on the radio, and the first Monday of the month is Emergency Power Night. You're encouraged to check into this group using your portable or mobile or battery-powered or solar-powered radio that you would use in case of emergency if there wasn't power to your station.
Glenn, you know, as you just explained how it went from this and there, and you're getting your message to Aunt Sadie, it kind of sounds like social media before there was social media, doesn't it?
Oh, that's absolutely true. Ham radio is, you know, like the original social media. People, you know, if we're not doing things for emergencies and stuff, which is, you know, relatively pretty rare, people just get on the air and chat, and there are people who have long-term friendships with people they've never met in, say, from California to Australia, and they meet on the air on a certain frequency at a certain time, and they chat just like you call up your friends and chat. And sometimes, and that's the nice thing about radio, is that there can be a whole group. You might have three or four people all in there taking kind of turns and talking and having a conversation and sharing information with each other and things like that, wife, kids, what the job's doing, whatever's going on. And they could just kind of take turns and You all do it at one time instead of like on a telephone where you can only talk to one person at a time. On the radio, on a given frequency, you can have as many people as you want, all talking and kind of taking turns and making stuff, you know, making remarks and things. So, and we've been doing that for 100 years now, literally. So,
take that, Twitter.
Social media.
Yeah, take that. Glenn, let me ask you, you said, you know, how the wife is doing. Is this a guy thing or are there women, a lot of women in this?
No, actually, youngest person in our club, we've got about almost 180 members. The youngest member is, I think she's about 13, a girl. Our club has got about 20% of the members are licensed ham radio that are women. So, yeah, pretty much it's kind of a guy thing. But but like I said, there's about 20% of the club are women. So that
could change. Yeah, that could change. Glenn, let me ask you, you know, as you talk about the, how it works and going from person to person and how you do the drills, are there people who are good at this? Is there a skill involved?
Oh, there is. And it's something that you kind of have to practice. But there are still people, old-fashioned code, you know, Morse code, CW, that they pass radiograms using CW, and that's a good way to do it over big distances. And one of our other Monday night groups that we get together, we practice handling like hospital forms or radiogram forms, and you fill one of these out ahead of time, and then when it's your turn, you send it over the air. And the guys on the other end receive it, and it comes up in the form, and it's actually printable. So you can print this form out or email it to somebody, but you have to practice doing that, you know, because there's a certain amount of skill and things that you have to do to practice on how to keep all this this stuff all going.
Is there a certain kind of person that likes to do this? I'm looking at a picture of you, and you got a baseball hat on, a T-shirt, and a ponytail there. Is there a dress code? And is there a type of person who loves to ham here?
Well, let's face it. Probably, as a gross generalization, we're all kind of geeky. But, no, there's... a lot of people are in... electronics and engineering. I've got friends that are broadcast engineers. I've got friends that were news cameramen and editors and things for big news networks. And then one of the guys down the street, he owns a he's an electrician, and he owns a pool service, you know, for swimming pools and stuff. So it's pretty much a good cross section of people with a slight bend toward a little bit geekiness, because let's face it, nobody's ever seen an electron, so it just kind of all works on this theory. But pretty much just a little bit of everything, good variety of ages. The last testing we did, we had three high school students pass their exams. So, you know,
you got it all, little bits of everything. I want to ask you, Glenn.
I'm sorry?
We're almost out of time. I got to ask you, do you save lives? Do you make a difference?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I've listened to people working with somebody with a lost hiker up in the mountains. And one of the guys on the hiking team, they lost somebody, and he put a call out, who got a hold of the county sheriff, and they all worked communications, because the sheriff couldn't talk to this guy, but the guy sitting in his house was on the telephone and on the radio, and they found the lost hiker. then again, a friend of mine who was handicapped fell and in his home and was home alone, and he managed to get to his radio and put out a call, and they rolled the paramedics for him. So, even not counting things like big natural disasters.
Yeah, but just people in trouble, and they get on there, and you can rely on it. Glenn, we're almost out of time. Just have seconds left. I do have to ask you, do you really have an Aunt Sadie?
I'm sorry, what? Oh, no,
do you
I
have
don't.
An Aunt Sadie?
No, I don't.
It's part of your stick.
I don't have an Aunt Sadie, but...
you wished you did.
Nope. And my mother's brother, my grandmother's brother, was born in Manitoba. But other than that, no Aunt Sadies and no relatives in Canada.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.